today on Real Radio.
You look back and you don't even realize you're changing lanes. Don't look back anymore. From this day forward, don't look back. Leave it to God. And if you say, well, I have to look back, you wouldn't understand it if you did look back.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 4, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Now, these verses tell us that God has plotted our course and has determined our future. All we have to do is pursue Him and all that He has waiting for us with all of our hearts. When it comes to pursuing Christ, however, we really need to be watchful. Our eyes must be open to the future by forgetting what happened in the past. Releasing former experiences requires us to constantly bring them to Christ. When we entertain the thoughts of the past, we have no victory in our lives. We have an enemy who wants to remind us of our failures, but we have a God who wants us to give it up by giving it to Him. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we forget the past, that also includes not dwelling on former days of glory and influence. We're to look only ahead so that we can keep discovering and keep reaching for all the things that God has planned for us. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says, the Lord tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, their sins, He says, that's your sins too, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Listen, everybody, some of you need to be set free from your past now. Are you a Christian? Yes. Did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? Yes. Then take your sin, the one that's besetting you. Did you tell God about it? Yes, a million times. Then you don't need to talk about it anymore. It's now. It's right now. That's the awesome thing about our God. It's always right now. The sinner can be saved now. The backslider can be recovered now. The saint walking with God can be re-energized now. The Bible tells us that we can now be filled afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? He's always the God of the now. So encouraging. Colossians 3, verse 3. For you died, this is the believer, this is the Christian. All of you who raised your hand a moment ago, did you know you're dead to this world? This world has no power over you now? Did you know that? Well, really? Well, then why am I getting my teeth kicked in by the world? You're letting the world kick your teeth in. You're just hanging your teeth out there, letting it get kicked in. Shut your mouth. Fight back against this world. The Bible tells us this world, Satan roams around this world. It's almost funny if it wasn't so dead serious. Satan roams around this world. What does the rest of the verse say? No, it doesn't. Like. Who said it? Like. The Bible says Satan is in this world roaming around like a lion. He's not even a lion. He can only listen to the believer. Look, if you're not a Christian, he'll rip you to shreds and take you to hell, and he'll laugh all the way down with you. But if you're a Christian, he can only gum you. He's got no teeth anymore. And you know how he gums you? Boo! That's what he does. He intimidates. Listen, big mouth, yelling, screaming, threatening, intimidation. It's of Satan. The origin is satanic. Anybody intimidating you, scaring you, booing you? Its origin is from Satan. Listen, the Bible says, for you died. You can't intimidate a dead man. Think about it. The Bible says you've died in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the moment you come to Christ, your old life died at the cross with Christ. You died and your life is hidden with Christ. Look at your life is hidden in religion. Good luck. Your life is hidden in what? Look, if it's hidden with Christ, you're really hidden. What does that mean? It means you're in Him. Look, hidden with Christ in God. That's what the Bible says. You better, listen, we better get our grip of this in life. We need to understand this. If we're trusting Jesus Christ, this is 1,000% true for you as a believer. Stop looking back. Never pays to look back. I've tried it. It doesn't work. I'm that way. The way that I'm wired is pathetic. There are days that I love the way that I'm wired, and then there's days I don't like the way that I'm wired. We're all wired differently. But for me, it's just the way that I'm wired. I just showed Jeff behind, after first service, I said, did you see the moon this morning? Did you see the moon? It was amazing. I don't know if you were up early this morning, but at 3:15 this morning, you could have walked around, driven your car without headlights on. The moon was so bright, it was crazy. There were shadows everywhere. And I took a picture. I take terrible pictures, but I took a picture because it's like amazing. And I'm in the backyard going, that's amazing. And I honestly, I enjoy that part about me. Very rare are things boring for me. I'll see a bird go across the backyard. Woo-hoo-hoo, wow! Listen to that bird. But you know, the cost for that is the other end. It's like, man, Lisa, what's the matter? It's Sunday afternoon. What do you think? I just blew a message. I couldn't believe it. It was the worst sermon ever. I think I'm just going to go drive off the end of the pier. You know, it's just like, you ever deal like that? Don't lie to me. You ever get down like that? You say, well, maybe, no, I don't. Well, then you know what? Listen, neither does my wife. She's like this. See how brilliant God is? He takes a stable individual and connects them to a lunatic. So for me, I got to be careful when I look back. When you look back, listen, you'll swerve. When you look back, you get your sights off of reaching forward. You cannot reach forward and look back at the same time. A friend of mine got a brand new, incredible, off the charts, ridiculously insane sports car. Jack, you want to drive it? Oh, yeah. You know, it's crazy because it has like throttles and stuff on the handle, on the wheel, brake and throttle on the steering wheel. How about your feet? No. How do you drive this thing? Scary. And you're just going around the block. So I can do that. You're going down the highway. You're going down the road. And I literally thought, I'm going to change lanes now. So what do you do when you change lanes? What do they teach us in school? You look in the mirror. Then you glance over your shoulder. Then you check your mirror again. Or maybe I have it reversed, but you know what I'm talking about. I don't know. And listen, as soon as I said in my mind, I'm going to change lanes now, I started to look. See this action? Look at my head. See that action? I changed lanes. Just turn in your head. The car changed lanes. You know why? Just looking back enough caused me to change the direction I was going. It's terrifying. I actually, when I got back, I said, here, I don't want this, no way. You look back and you don't even realize you're changing lanes. Don't look back anymore. From this day forward, don't look back. Leave it to God. And if you say, well, I have to look back, you wouldn't understand it if you did look back. You don't get it. Only he gets it. Leave it to him, but reach forward, press forward. Colossians 3:1 puts it this way. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Here it is, verse 2, Colossians 1:2. Set, fix, glue your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, this is regarding his return, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. That means we're supposed to be looking up and forward. Be reaching. Listen, Christian, don't be content one day further now for your idle, predictable Christian life. It is so dark, and that's so encouraging out there. Because the hour is ours. It's now time for us to walk with Jesus. Thirdly, it's a vision. The vision. It requires vision. Verse 13, those things which are ahead. I love this. We don't have to spend any time on it. Those things which are ahead. Paul, can you be more elaborate? Can you answer that? Answer from the Apostle Paul, nope. Pastor, can't you lay it out for me and give me a roadmap and tell me exactly where the next turn is? Nope. Those things that are ahead. That drives control freaks nuts, by the way. If you're a control freak, you have a hard time. You love God, you're going to heaven, but you're going to try to get up there and rearrange the furniture and fix everything up there. It's heaven, for crying out loud. Listen, control freaks have to know everything before they commit. I got news for you. God's going to, he's just like this with you. And listen, he's got more time than you do. It's hard to be a control. I mean, I've heard. I don't know. I'm not one. So that's why I'm having such a good time. I'm not a control freak. But if you're a control freak, you know, it's like, what about this? And draw a line over there. And we got to have this. And we've got six dozen of those. And then the Lord's got to do this. And then when he does that, we'll do the other things. Oh, man, really? Forget it. Remember what Warren Wiersbe says? If you can define what's happening in your church, then God's not the one doing it. Isn't that a great word? I know everything about the church. I know exactly how it's going to go. Well, that's too bad. Because if God was doing it, you wouldn't have a clue. Jesus said he's like the wind. You can't tell where he's coming from or where he's going. So for all of us who are crazy, that's just like, yes, that's the word for today. Yeah, you know, I'm kidding, but there's some truth to that for sure. I do take comfort in this, though. Revelation 3:8, Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, I've set before you an open door. What does that mean? It means go. Go through it. You want some encouragement about that? Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. The psalmist says, how precious are your thoughts to me. To me, the word is, how precious are your thoughts that you're showering down on me. God is always trying to tell you. Are you listening? God is always trying to tell you all the time about his thoughts. He wants you to know, okay? He says, your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Now remember, the Holy Spirit's the author of the Bible, so you have to ask yourself this question. Is God lying, exaggerating, or did David write the wrong thing down? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. God can't lie. It means that he's had all this time called eternity to think about you, and there's not enough sand on earth that can compare to his thoughts about you. And they're good, and they're the complete opposite most often of what you think about yourself. This gets sweeter. When I awake, says the psalmist, wouldn't he normally say that you're with me? That's how I would have written it. When I wake up, you're with me. Well, look how it's put. When I wake up, I am still with you. That's even better. You want to know why? Because he says, when I lay down, you're the one that keeps me all night long. And when I wake up, God, I'm still with you. You kept me. You kept me all the way through the night. You kept me all the way through this storm. You kept me all the way through this life issue. You kept me all the way through. If you get this, if I get this under our spiritual belt, we will be invincible, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly how God would have us to be. Fearless in this world. That's what God would have us to be. And this is our final push in the next 10 minutes and we'll be done with this. It's simple. It's verses 4 to 16. And until we cross the finish line, God has guaranteed the outcome. I like those odds, by the way. When God guarantees the outcome. Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What a huge statement. The word press is amazing. Everybody listen. Especially, hey, listen. Last week, by the end of third service, we had a lot of people come forward and accept the Lord. It was so fun because last Sunday was our baptism down at the beach. So it was so amazing to meet some of these people who got saved in the morning and baptized in the afternoon. They came down there. I don't know what I'm doing, but I got saved today. What do I do? Walked them through the gospel one more time to make sure they got it. Yep, we got it. I got that part. Do I go forward? Do you throw me in? What do I do? Just don't worry. I'll take it from here. But here's the deal. If that's you, or if you're an experienced, long-term, seasoned saint, listen what this word means. When Paul says, I press, the word press is a prolonged pursuit, an ongoing, long-term run toward the goal. It means to run the distance under hostile fire or under dangerous conditions. in running this marathon of race from being a young believer all the way through to being a seasoned saint. You run in such a way that is a prolonged, sustained, long-term, lifelong run with God in the midst of hostile, dangerous environments. Can you imagine? Can you imagine running a marathon in Aleppo today? Running a marathon in Homs, or running a marathon in Damascus today? Where people are running around, you're running, and there's people running behind you with knives and swords trying to kill you. It's a picture of the world. The Christian around the world is to be running in such a way, knowing this is a lifelong pursuit. If you're a day-old Christian, or if you're a decade-old Christian, you're in hot pursuit of God, and you have the finish line in sight, and all these bombs are going off, and all these things are happening in the world, and you just keep your eyes on Christ. Every so often along the way, there's bits of encouragement to let you know, like you're going down the Autobahn or the course where there's signs saying this town's approaching or this thing's happening or there's a bridge ahead. And as you go down that road, there's things like Russia's invading the Middle East, Israel's become a nation again, the world, you hear what I'm saying? That's how you view the world, always with Jesus in the sight. Press, he says, press. And why press? Well, because it creates an industrious spirit within us spiritually. So we are to be industrious. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. This is the point. This is the thrust. It's the upward call. Some of your Bibles have translated high call. That's nice, but it's not the accurate word. It's up call. The word is actually up call. Keep pressing. Keep going until what? Until the up call comes. You're called up. By death or by rapture, the word implies when you meet Christ. Keep going until you meet Christ. That's, when do I stop? When do I relax? When do I finish? Until you keep going until you meet Christ. That's our marching orders. What's the will of God? Run until you meet Christ. Call up. The word means summoned upward. To be. The word is also translated to fill up a pot so fast with so much fluid that it just gushes over the brim. Isn't that a cool picture in your mind? It means to go up higher. Christendom in the year 371, early church fathers said, regarding what Paul is describing here, listen to this, and I want your imagination to go in light of Christ coming. Think of the rapture. Think of meeting Christ. Listen to what he said. Christendom, 371 AD. What's described is the protocol of the Athenian Games held in the ancient Roman Empire of Paul's day. The winner was not crowned. Listen, the winner was not crowned on the field or on the track and on the track or the course. The runner, that's you, you're not crowned on the field or on the track. He says, but the winner was summoned by the emperor's escort with an upward call, using this word that Paul used. Once the winner arrived above the stadium and with the emperor himself crowned him with a wreath of honor as he was surrounded by guests and dignitaries. Does that remind you of something? When Christ, Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, when Christ comes back, he's going to call him up and give him a crown of righteousness, whom the righteous judge will give him. Think about that. If Paul used a word that speaks about that glorious moment, that the winner who crossed the finish line doesn't get crowned on the field, but rather he's crowned in the presence of the king, then it makes total sense that the reward seat of Christ, it's called the Bema seat, Bema, it's what the Olympic Games are, the three-tiered victory table, Bema, gold, silver, and bronze. They're all winners. The Bema, that's the word for you. As a believer, you're going to be at the Bema seat of Christ when Christ rewards you according to your faithfulness to cross the finish line for the predetermined life he gave you that you were to find out about from him and live it. And the king himself puts the wreath on your head. I love that. Industrious. Verse 15 tells us, in light of this, we're to be intelligent. Intelligent in this context, meaning to be enlightened with truth. Therefore, that's the word, therefore. In conclusion to this argument, the therefore means, let us, as many as are mature, want to grow up, have this mind. So think like this. And oh, by the way, if anything you think otherwise, in other words, if you're not thinking right, God will reveal even this to you. Isn't that great? If you're a goofball, God's going to straighten you up. Isn't that nice? That's great. Use your head. Use your mind. Think again. Be illuminated. Take in the word. Know what to do. A young man after a first service told me, and I forgot, he said, "You gave me a commentary from your library a while ago." I said, "I did? Make sure you bring it back." He said, "Yeah." I go, "What did I give you?" He goes, "The book of Proverbs. You gave me this commentary on the book of Proverbs." He goes, "It's amazing. Young man." And I thought to myself, what a smart guy. You know what? He's taking light and he's making it brighter. That's called intelligence. Adding to it. That's a good thing. And then verse 16 ends intentionally. So all of us can leave this place now very intentional about being a Christian. Nevertheless, this is so wise. Listen to this. To the degree that we have already attained. Can everybody look at this real quick? And the sooner we look at it, the faster we'll be done here. You see, Jack, are you kidding me? Wait a minute. You're confusing me. Paul says, "I've not yet attained." Then I have attained. And so which one is it? Yes, it's all of that. This is what it means. Paul says that we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Let us walk. We're on a journey. We're on this race together. Number two, be of this attitude. An attitude. Watch my hands. Attitude. Not like this. Attitude. An attitude is the angle of your life. The angle. If there's any pilots in here, the attitude of your aircraft, the wing, determines if you're going to fly or fall. You change the attitude of your plane down, and you're going to run out of air eventually, and you hit the ground. Are you with me? When you change the attitude of the plane, it changes its elevation. He is saying this regarding we who have obtained. This is the meaning of it. Are you a brand new believer? If you're a brand new believer, attain this, everything a brand new believer is to learn. But are you always to be like a brand new believer, church? No, you move into the toddler stage of being a believer. And you learn everything, you attain everything you can for that time and stage of your Christian life. Are you with me? Are you tracking? Then when you move to the next, what would that be? Adolescence or teen years? Then you take every opportunity that you've now grown and matured in Jesus more, and now you're at this stage of your spiritual life, and you're not going to retire, you're not going to coast, you're not going to give up. You are going to grow and attain every moment of that stage of your spiritual place. Then let's just fast forward to adult. You're an adult believer now. What do you do now? You acquire everything you can to build your spirit, faith, and walk with God, and you stay that course with your eyes fixed on the finish to the very end. And you keep focused because you're going through a hostile area. Bombs are going off. People are chasing you. All this stuff's happening. But you know what? You've learned by now. You know what? All that stuff is just, it's just a distraction. I'm just set on Christ. I'm set on Christ. Just a distraction. Here we go.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a message called Until We Cross the Finish Line, Part 4. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you forget the past by keeping your eyes on Christ, who gives us an eternal future with Him. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, there is an easy way to get the Real Life devotion. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and get the Real Life devotion sent right to your email. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week. Simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on the Devotions tab, or why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Get the Real Life devotions once a week to take your walk with God to a deeper level. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.